This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, the most kind. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. And we send our greetings and salutations and love to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to his pious and pure family, his companions, and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be steadfast in the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to follow his guidance and his teachings, so that we may be with him in the life after. Ameen. May Allah bless us in this waqt of Jumu'ah. May all our sins that we have done in this past week be forgiven. May Allah accept the hajj of those hujjaj, those who attended the hajj. May Allah accept from them. May Allah grant all those who are returning home to return safely. Ameen. May Allah grant all of us here to be in the Holy Land very soon. Ameen. Ameen. Kul am wa antum bi khair. Belated Eid Mubarak. Some of you I haven't seen since 2 weeks ago. And I hope that you had a blessed Eid with your family. And Alhamdulillah, I hope that you know, it's always good to be back. I wasn't here last week, and that it's good for us to be back. We continue with our series which we started a while ago. This is part 9 of our series on the etiquettes of disagreement. We're talking about relationships, if you remember, parents, children, brothers, sisters. We're speaking about spouses, husbands and wives. And we said the one person that you're probably going to argue the most with is your wife or your husband. Right? That's the person you're going to argue the most with. And we were talking about why marriages fail, the reasons for divorce. And then we broke for a little bit to talk about the issue of two Eids. We spoke about that. And then I wasn't here last week. So now I'm back, inshallah. So we're going to continue talking about why marriages fail. And as we said, that never ever before has it been so difficult to maintain a marriage as it is today. 50% of marriages fail. They don't work. Half of every marriage. And if you go deeper and say, of those 50% that stay married, are they happy? That's another question. Are they effective? Are they communicating effectively? Are they doing so because of obligation, of kids, religion? How many are actually happily married? And that becomes lower. Allah grant all of us to be happy in our relationships. Ameen. So as we talk about reasons for divorce, there's a beautiful ayah in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us as an overall advice. So no matter what we talk about, always remember this ayah. And the next time myself, yourself, my wife, your wife, we get into an argument, remember this ayah. Because you're going to argue about something you don't like. So Allah says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ and live with them in kindness, also in fairness, be fair, be kind, be good to one another. فَإِن كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ and if you, not even dislike, the ayah actually says, if you hate something in them, you actually hate something about your wife or your husband, then perhaps Allah says, أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا you hate something, وَيَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا there is still a lot of good in that thing that you hate. There's still a lot of benefits that we don't see. We might hate our job, we might hate something in our home, but when we sometimes can't see behind that defect, and without the person, this woman or this husband, many problems, we're not perfect. And we hate a few aspects of their character or their personality. But we forget about all the good things that we get. All the things we take for granted. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us always, when you make a decision in terms of a marriage and relationships, remember there are some things which you don't like, it's normal. But there are many good things that we take for granted. So this is a beautiful advice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Live kindly with one another, but also remember you could be hating something and there's goodness in that for you. So we're speaking about why marriages fail, and I'm recapping again very quickly. We said extramarital affairs, why people, one of the main reasons, one of the big reasons why people fall, marriages end is because one or two partners have had relationships with other people. And we spoke in detail about why people do this, and we said it's very, very easy to have an affair today. Easier now in this time than ever before. The Prophet tells us a time will come, he says to the Sahaba, a time will come when for you to maintain your iman will be like holding that hot coal in your hand. Or it will be like the iman of 50 of you. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, do you need 50 imans of those people, 50 of us, or 50 of Sahaba? So the Prophet said, you need the iman of 50 Sahaba to survive in that days of fitna. We're leading to that time. We're to maintain Your relationship has never been more difficult. You are in constant contact around. You see things all around you. So easy, so simple. May Allah protect us. We said one of the big reasons why people fail in marriages is financial pressure. Money is probably the biggest reason why we argue. And we just basically touched on, we said that from the Sharia perspective, Sharia gives basic laws that as a husband, you need to provide for your wife and your kids. What is basic, what is required, their basic needs, what they're used to in terms of housing, clothing. And just a side note here, I'm in cases where divorce happens. Your maintenance to your children, from a Sharia perspective, is forever. You as a father will always be responsible for the maintenance of your children until they become independent, until your sons are able to work, until your daughters are married or they themselves are able to sustain themselves. But as a father, you can never divorce your kids. Remember that. You divorce the woman, yes, but you can never divorce your kids. And I know, I just saw a message from the MJC that, I think it was today, that Judge Siraj Desai actually had a verdict in saying that this Muslim personal law needs to be moved on to protect women that get divorced, because unfortunately, people abuse the Sharia. And they will say, you know what, we've been married for 30, 40 years, you helped me set up my business, but per the Sharia, I only have to nafaka you when you're married. So after your iddah, ma'asalama, you can go, you can marry another man, but all the assets are mine. What's mine is mine, in terms of the Sharia. That's abusing the Sharia, abusing the Sharia. So Allah is saying, live fairly with one another. Both of you are working, both of you maybe have incomes, you should have, and perhaps the best format, number one, be open and honest with your finances, with each other. Discuss it. And then have money which belongs to you as a husband. Look, this, whatever amount is mine, whatever amount is yours, and then there's this communal. Together we're going to build a house. Together we're going to support our kids. Right, so you sort yourself out with your money, I sort myself, but then there's of course this communal. And what in that pot, if we separate, well, 50-50 should go, depending on what you agree on. As I said, the Sharia allows you to discuss with each other. A husband can say, all of what I have is yours. A husband can say, I only give you an allowance, 1,000 rand a month, and that's yours, and the rest is mine. If she agrees, it's fine. Husband, wife can say, you can take from my account, no problem. Sharia says it's fine. But you need to be mature in this discussion. Unfair distribution of domestic chores and tasks. Understand, O men. Yes, Sharia does not say that the Sharia says the woman needs to support her husband. She needs to please her husband. And we expect our wives to wait on us, care for our kids, clean our houses. But we also want them to work and contribute to the bills. That's unfair. So, yes, if you are the man, like, you know, the 50s, the woman was a stay-at-home wife. Alhamdulillah, that was her concerns. She didn't worry about bills. Don't talk to her about bills. So then fine, you don't have to worry about nappies. But in today's day and age, when together you are worrying about bills, then you have to worry about nappies as well. And again, you need to look at what is fair and what is equitable. And subhanallah, I know personally, over a cup of tea or over dishes, people have gotten divorced. Not because they're petty, but because partners are not being fair. Look at how much time each one is spending. In-laws, we spoke about mother-in-laws, daughter-in-laws, we spoke about at length, and my advice again, never involve your parents if you don't have to. When we have a problem, especially when we're younger, 20 years old, 30 years old, we got married, now we have a problem, the first person, people we want to go to, you know, when we can't resolve something with our husband or our wife, is we call our mothers, our fathers. Don't do that. Why? Parents are the worst people to resolve conflict when it comes to their children. It's your job as a parent to protect your son, your daughter, to love your son, your daughter. You'll always take their side. And that's fine. As a parent, you're not supposed to be objective. You must always be biased towards your kids. So you'll find that husband said some things that are bad, wife said some things that are bad, but the minute the in-laws find out, they're very upset. And while husband and wife can forgive one another, parents will never forget, but you said that to my daughter. I will never forgive that. So don't run to your parents, because usually they add more fuel to the fire. Not deliberately. They can't help themselves. They get more emotional. Get more emotional. And parents, let go. In fact, you find the ulama, and I've looked at even the most conservative of ulamas, you know, their websites, what do they say? They would say it is better for families, for husbands and wives not to live with their parents. Yes, live close enough so you can see to, you can fulfill the duties of your parents. But separation is sometimes good, a degree of distance. A woman likes her own kingdom, as Imam Ahmad tells his son. Imam Ahmad tells his son, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, the great scholar, he says to his son, understand, every king has their rules. And every king, if you transgress their rules, you're in trouble. And as for the home, the woman is the king of the home. She's in charge. So you cannot have two women in one home. Whether it's your mother, even you find mother and daughter, there's always going to be issue. So sometimes separation is good. And for any young couple, I advise, if you're able to live on your own, it is always better for your relationship to be separate slightly from your parents. Of course, if your parents are older and now it becomes a need that you need to support them, then this is the sabr. Then this is where you have sabr for the sake of the deen. You fulfill your obligation. Being angry, abusive, disrespectful. We'll talk, inshallah, about how to argue. The language we should use from the sharia, from modern understanding. But most of the times we find, and if ever we've been in arguments, we define our arguments are basically verbal boxing matches. It's not meant to solve a topic. Even, subhanAllah, this we apply to everything, to our ulama, when they discuss with one another. They don't want to, it's not about the Eid issue anymore. It's not about when is the right Eid or fiqh. It's about scoring points. It's about hurting someone. It's about sending out names. And what is the point in calling this man a XYZ? Calling your wife a XYZ? How does that solve the problem? How does that fix the issue about our kids? But it's about emotional hurt you want to do. And the minute we get into anger and being angry and disrespectful language, you need to take a step back. We'll talk about divorce, inshallah, next week. But if marriage is bringing out a very bad side of you, so you know, I was never a person that swore and lost my iman, so to say, but marriage brings this out of me regularly, then it's something for you to think about. For this is more for our younger, subhanAllah, perhaps even for our older brothers and sisters, we said, hobbies, friends, certain nice-to-haves in life should not be prioritized over your marriage. Certain priorities, your marriage becomes a priority. We said, even the Prophet said to the Sahaba, don't linger here in the masjid, Masjid Nabawi. Don't spend time too long making ibadah. Make your sunnahs at home, because your family is a haqq on you. When he saw, when Salman al-Farisi saw Abu Darda, that he had neglected his wife, how? For the sake of ibadah. Not because he's out having fun, or watching soccer, or working. He neglected his wife because he was only ibadah focused. Up at night making tahajjud, fasting in the day, dhikr 24/7. When the Prophet heard about this, he didn't say, MashaAllah, this is what I want from you. He said, this is not from my sunnah. This is wrong. Because your wife has a haqq. Don't take your wife's haqq and give it to anyone, even to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, part of when you get married, you make this commitment. And that's why it's not sometimes an easy thing. It's a big step. You are sacrificing certain things that you would like. Certain things that you would like to have. You'd like to give more time to certain hobbies, to certain friends, to certain even goals in life. That becomes secondary now to your marriage. Sexual problems. And I think we didn't discuss this. This is where we're going to go a little bit into detail today. Intimacy issues. Sharia is, subhanAllah, if I look at the Sharia, it's amazing to think that this was revealed 1,400 years ago. Some of the hadith, I say some of the ayat and hadith, you would expect it to find on the cover of like Cosmo. You know? You can't believe that this was something 1,400 years ago. People, 50 years ago, there was like, you know, intimacy was taboo. You shouldn't have desire. A woman, for example, should not even have any desire. If she desired something, it was like there's something, she's a loose woman. Sharia doesn't say that. Sharia says a man has desires and a woman has desires. And the reason why we get married, one of the reasons why, and in fact the word nikah comes from two trees, being, you know, one tree is used to fertilize another tree, it's called nakaha. It's this contract that you are making makes intimacy halal. So one of the basic tenets of nikah is physical intimacy. We even know that if the husband gets married, he pays the dowry, he pays the maskavi, everything is done, and they haven't consummated the marriage. The two of them weren't intimate together. This marriage is semi-incomplete. Only when there's consummation are they now a proper married couple. Sharia is saying that this is a major part of marriage. And if there's a problem in that regard, then there's a problem in your relationships. And everyone here needs to, it's a very awkward thing to discuss, a very difficult thing to discuss, but it's something real. So intimacy, sexual fulfillment and gratification is the haqq of both partners. Both husband must be happy and wife must be happy. And you can actually divorce your wife or your husband. You can go to the MJC sister and say, you know what, mashallah, my husband who is a pious man who goes to the masjid 5 times a day, he provides me with all the maintenance, he speaks lovely to me, but he doesn't fulfill my needs in the bedroom. MJC, you can, should say, on that basis, we annul this marriage. Find a man that can fulfill your needs. Imam Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, I love this fatwa of him. Someone asked, and Allah Alam, why they asked these questions. They asked him, Sheikh, what's more important for me to fulfill as a husband? Should I fulfill her needs in terms of nafaqah? Should I feed her if she's hungry? Or should I provide for her sexual needs? What's more important? Is she starving to death? Should I feed her? Or should I provide her sexually? Imagine, the Imam says, more important for you, husband, provide for her sexual needs. Why? Because her father can feed her. Her brother can feed her. But only you can take care of that need. Smart fatwa. It's amazing fatwa. So this is something our deen is teaching. So the Sharia is very accommodating and says, do whatever you want. Allah's not going to give you a list of what you can, what must be done, not mustn't be done. You are old enough, you are big people, you are married, alhamdulillah. You find out what you like and enjoy as much as you want. Play whatever games you want. Only two things are haram. Anal sex is haram. And to have intercourse during, to have penetrative sexual contact during a haid. You can still play around, you can still have foreplay during haid, but to be inside, that's haram during haid. Everything else is fine. And therefore, this is something which should be understood. The Prophet also says, I can see everyone is quite shy, you know? I'm more shy than you. But the Prophet says about this, there is no haya in the deen. Remember, this is an act of ibadah. It's an act of worship. It's an act of worship. You are not only, as a sahaba got shocked and said, Ya Rasulullah, when I'm with my wife and I'm fulfilling my needs, Allah is rewarding me, He's giving me ajr. Yes. He'll give you actually more ajr in that than you making tahajjud. More important than that. SubhanAllah. Right? So that's subhanAllah, easy ibadah for us to make. And therefore, the Prophet encouraged us to keep intimacy alive. It was part of his sunnah. It's part of his sunnah to keep intimacy alive. And, I mean, a hadith like this, again, you cannot imagine that a religious leader would say something, 1,400, to say, for example, oh husbands, when you fulfill your needs, do not withdraw yourself until your wife has her needs are fulfilled. Where he says, oh men, don't approach your wife like an animal approaches its mate, but rather begin with kisses and words. Begin. Because different people, you know, they are stimulated in different ways. Our wives, the Prophet says, if your husband has a need to fulfill, and you are at the stove, or you are on the camel, then leave that and see to him. SubhanAllah, he's speaking haqq, he's speaking logic, speaking things that are real in this day and age. That we are human beings, we have desires, like eating, like drinking, we have a need, and Allah has opened a way for us to fulfill this need in a halal way. So do things in the halal way, and you'll be rewarded in that. And people should be, married couples should be open and honest about their needs. As an imam in my personal capacity, when couples have not been intimate for an extended period of time, there's a very big warning sign that there's problems in this marriage. Major problems. And it's one of those things that you can't, if this is not fixed, one of those problems that is not gonna, you can't resolve. Obviously, if you in your 70s and 80s, don't feel worried, that's something else, right? But if there's a need that's not being fulfilled, then I promise you, everything else can be perfect, but this is a one big area that has to be fixed. And if you in your personal current marriage, there's something that you feel is, I need, it's not being fulfilled, have the courage to have the dialogue with your wife or your husband. Your husband as well. Have the courage to speak about it, rather than letting it become something problematic. Also something very important. Intimacy should never be used as a weapon. So for example, this is hadith, and those of us who are following my series, The Women Around the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is hadith which is like, women don't like this hadith, where the Prophet says, if a man calls her to his bed, and she refuses him because she's upset with him now, I'm angry, you know, you didn't do something right, and she denies him intimacy, then the angels curse her. I said, oh, what kind of hadith is this? You know? Firstly, it goes both ways. If wife calls husband to bed and he says no, as punishment for you, no intimacy, he's also being cursed because he's doing the same thing. But what this is also showing, that we need to take care of one another. It's a certain need, and I said this with nafaqah. If your wife has now done something wrong, and you're not, and legitimately she did something wrong, she was wrong, she was acting in a bad way, it doesn't give you the right to stop paying the rent today. No, wife, you want a good wife, so I'm not going to pay rent or buy groceries now. Similarly, where they are, remember, there's a legal contract. Your rights and obligations don't stop when you're happy. You're not happy with your boss, so you say, today I'm not going to work. No. You do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, while it's your haqq, very important, husbands, perhaps even wives, force is never permitted in our sharia. Understand the hadith that says if a woman is called and she rejects her husband, sharia didn't say, now take your haqq from her. The sharia says now, and he's upset with you, then that's a sin on her. Force is never permitted. Force is never permitted. And these things, subhanAllah, it's stuff we need to discuss. So never withhold intimacy, because it leads to a much bigger problem. It leads to a much bigger problem. And you live in a time, be aware, I need to be aware, you need to be aware, that if that is not being met at home, right next door, sitting next to you at work, going to work with you, sitting on the bus, wherever it might be, in the shop, there are other prospects out there. And that's very dangerous. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. Alright, other reasons. So insecurity, a lot of couples come, and especially if there's a bad history, there was infidelity, trust. If trust has been broken once, maybe from financial reasons or whatever, it's very difficult to move forward until both partners trust each other. When each partner feels that there's secrets, you know, she's doing stuff there that I don't know, he's doing stuff that I don't know, I don't know where he is, this is going to sour your marriage. And it's always best to play open cards. Because usually what's actually happening is not as bad as what's going on in your mind. That shaitan is constantly running rumors in your mind. So if you have an issue about trust, a trust problem, it can come from multiple reasons. Very important to speak even to a professional. It will make your life, your marriage, so much better. Moving on, external stress. Life is going to be tough. And work is going to be tough. School with the kids is going to be tough. You might have a mother, father who's ill, who has passed away. May Allah grant shafa, those who are ill and those who are in the qabr. May Allah grant them mercy on this waqt of Jumu'ah. But your partner is going to go through a difficult period in their life. Your job as a husband, as a wife, is to be there as a support. Is to be there as support. Sometimes we even need to be the punching bag. We need to be the punching bag. We need to take, because husband is frustrated, wife is frustrated, not because of you, but there's no one else that I can vent to. So we take it out. It's not right, but understand that stress tends to sour a marriage. And the one who is under less stress, try to bring it down. You know, I love this quote again. Imam Ahmad, he gave 10 advices to his son when he got married. The one we spoke about, the king. The other advice, he said, listen, my son, you're marrying your wife now. It's cute, lovely, perfect. She's perfect in your eyes right now. But after you get married, maybe in a few weeks' time, you will see a side of her. She will go through her monthly menses. You'll see stuff from her that you don't like. You'll become upset. Who is this? I didn't sign up for this. Right? And she won't be able to fulfill her rights to you as a husband because she's in her menses. And when you get upset and you're going to be frustrated and she's going to argue and nag and whatever, remember that at that moment in time, Allah is giving up His right of salah and fasting on her. Allah, the Lord of the universe, said to her, you don't have to fast, you don't have to make salah. So you as a husband, let go your rights. When through periods of difficulty, sickness, stress, financial burden, do it and be the better spouse in that moment. Lastly, and we say this perhaps the biggest reason why marriages fail, is that we are unable to communicate properly. We don't have proper conversations with our spouses. We will always have differences. And it's how the successful couples, they are able to get through these things, having dialogue and discussions. Most marriages don't end because of one catastrophe. It's usually years of built up unhappiness, years of miscommunication. It's like a death by a thousand cuts. That marriage hasn't been maintained for years, and then it breaks. And subhanAllah, just something to think about. You in your 20s are choosing a partner that you want to live with forever. Right? That's the idea. No one else. All our needs, all our happiness is with this one partner. If at 20 you're supposed to choose a car, and they say, choose a car now, but this car is going to be with you for the next 50 years. What car do I choose? What's going to meet all my needs? If I choose now, most of us as young men will choose a, you know, a Ferrari or a sports car. 5 years later, I get married. There's no space anymore for a baby seat. You know, what do I choose? Do we really think that, subhanAllah, this person, well, all this, the person I chose, I mean, I wasn't the same person 20 years, in my 20s when I got married. Is this person still going to be my partner when I'm in my 50s? We're going to grow as people. And the only way for a marriage to sustain is to grow together. That's why most marriages, there are always issues to complain about. Right? There's always going to be something, a complaint. But in reality, most couples that have come to me for divorce, it's not because of the words that they've said. Or ultimately, we've grown apart. We don't make each other happy anymore. Because what I want is not the same things I wanted when we got married. And she's different. We've grown apart so much. And only now, when we're totally apart, do we realize there's a problem. And we can't come back from that. And the only way to bridge this is to make sure you're growing together and you're moving in the right direction. It's very difficult. Not a Muslim divorce lawyer, he's an expert in divorce. He says, if you come see me, it's too late already. He says, your marriage is like your car. If you don't maintain it, it's going to break after a while. And I know that because my car just got stuck on Wednesday. Right? So if you don't maintain it, your marriage, at some point after 4, 5 years, 10 years, it's going to be a problem. And constant maintenance. And subhanAllah, this is why the Prophet ﷺ was so successful in his marriages. So supremely successful. He didn't have financial wealth. Couldn't buy roses and gifts. His wives really struggled financially. He didn't even have the time. Yet he was shared by 9 other women. He was shared. But the little time that he had, he made such quality time of it. And the way he made them feel. Now, no matter how great you are as a husband, you can't beat this. When the Prophet passed away, these 9 women, and you'll get this if you follow my series, the women around the Messenger of Allah, they would come together maybe annually, and they would measure their hands. Because the Prophet said, when after I pass away, the one of you who has the biggest or longest hands, she will meet me, she will return to me first. So they would measure whose hands are the biggest, so I can die and be with him. Right? SubhanAllah. Why? He was able to make use of what little time he was shared between the ummah, fighting battles, giving sharia, you know, Jibreel coming, and 9 other women. Yet he was able to do this job so successfully that they loved him completely. It's because of how he communicated. If you look at the hadith about all it was, is his way of speaking, his way of interacting, and this kept his marriages always in a good state. So how do we resolve conflict? We're going to fight, you're going to fight, I'm going to fight. You can't avoid it. How should we talk? And really this is a framework for conflict in your business, conflict at work, conflict with the ulama. If we talk like this with each other, there's guidelines from the sharia, there's guidelines from psychology, you would find that we resolve our problems better. So just some tips to think about. Number one, understand that it is part of life. You can't avoid conflict. Can't run from it. You can't avoid disagreement. You can't avoid. So even when we talk about the big issues like Shiism, Sufism, Salafism, we can't avoid these issues anymore. We can't avoid the fight. We're going to have to get involved, but do so maturely. You will always be on a different page with your spouse. So how do you resolve these conflicts? Always keep in mind, when people fight, and they come to the imam especially, the imam is the referee. She will give her point, he did this, but she did that, and he said this like a scorecard, like, you know, tennis, serve, 30, love, 40, love. You know, that's how it goes. At the end of the day, we can say to you, yes, but husband, you can win. I can say you're the winner, but you've destroyed your marriage. Wife, you can win, but you've destroyed the marriage. You have someone who hates you. Is that, you can win the battle but lose your marriage. You need to always ask this. So in your, I know it's difficult in the heat of an argument, but just listen to this and ask yourself, is it more important for me to win the argument or to win over the heart of my spouse? What's more important in this situation? Beautiful example is like that of Nabi Sulaiman. When the two women were fighting over the son, each one said, this is my child. We apply this to our ulama here, Each one wants to say, my fatwa is correct. Each committee says, this is the right way. We can either divide the child in half. We can divide the masjid in half. We can divide the community in half. We can divide the marriage in half. So each one gets half. You realize no one wins in that situation. No one can do anything with half a child. No one can do anything with half a marriage, half a masjid. At some point we need to realize that to lose is actually to win. To lose the argument actually means we're going to move forward. And today you give in, tomorrow you're going to win. Allah says that, and you know from life, to make your partner love you even more. For us, that comes as imams, it's very shocking. People come to you, and they have problems, yet the first time they speak about those problems is with the imam. Wife will say, I never knew you felt this way. Husband will say, I never knew you thought of this. There's so much unspoken things between husbands and wives, because we don't have the courage to talk. If something is bothering you, don't be afraid to have a difficult conversation. You can speak about these difficult things respectfully without it becoming World War III. And sometimes the best way is to choose a correct time. Don't, you know, usually what we do, so something's on my mind, I didn't like this. Now I'm going to phone my wife or my husband while they're in a busy boardroom meeting. We need to talk, right? And automatically we're defensive. Choose a time, and I think that's why you know, I always say to my counseling, I even say to my wife, we need to talk about issues the same way the masjid discusses. We need to have a meeting. We schedule a meeting a few weeks out. We have an agenda. We have minutes of the last meeting, matters arising, any apologies. Once we discuss things like this, we take out that emotion. We take out that heat from the argument. Right? Not that it solves the heat in the masjid committee meetings. It's pretty hot as well. Right? But it's better than us having a chat here in the masjid. Right. If you're in an argument, whether it's with your boss, your employees, your parents, your wife, think very carefully why you're upset. What do you want to say? Before you say it, say to yourself, I'm upset because of X, Y, Z. And why am I upset? Am I fear of to be upset? Is it justified? And if I am, list your arguments sometimes. List it point for point. And maybe an email is good. Maybe writing a letter, sending an email. And it's good to say, this is how I feel. This is how I feel, let's talk about it. Rather than on the day, fighting and arguing about things, and then we become very defensive. Don't ever say things to hurt someone. Even if you disagree, and I say this to our husbands, our wives, our kids, our ulama, just even though you disagree that he's a Shia, that he's a whatever, don't throw name calling. Name calling never helps. And Rasulullah, look into the Sharia. Did he ever call Abu Jahl? Did Musa ever call Fir'aun derogatory names? These are the worst of people. Yet insults and name calling is never good. When you do it with your wife and husband, it's never going to solve your problem. Inshallah, we've got maybe another few points, but time is against us. We'll talk next week about how we should argue, step by step, go through these points. And we'll talk about divorce. When is it the right to get divorced? Sharia has allowed us to get divorced. So there is that door, there is that button, self-destruct button. When must you push that button? How do you push it? What's the right way to do it? We'll talk about that, inshallah, next week, in the weeks to come. I mean, just quite a few announcements to be made. First thing, very busy month, September, alhamdulillah, very blessed. September, we're having a number of events happening. Firstly, on the 18th of September, or rather the 15th of September, so that is Saturday, the 15th of September. And in fact, the day before that, Friday. So it's in 2 weeks' time. Sheikh Yasir Qadi, so one of the most prolific English-speaking scholars in the world, will be visiting South Africa. And he'll be giving a course on that Saturday in the morning at CTICC on Surah Yusuf. And in the evening, a very interesting one. I've only got this one on the thing. Deep confusion, misconception and division. Issues that we face in a Western society. Is the Sharia still relevant? Is hijab still relevant? In a modern Western, the things that we as Westerners face living with our deen as a minority. So you'll be discussing these issues. That's on the Saturday. Then on Sunday, the day after, alhamdulillah, we'll be having our annual Muharram March. It's a new year, where we invite all our children from the area, and we take a tour around the Bukab, and we're going to commemorate and celebrate all the pioneers and the legacy that came. Islam in our community has come from Malaysia, Indonesia, Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, Turkey. We're going to celebrate our rich heritage during our Muharram March. So we invite your kids. It's a wonderful experience for families and kids. Then on the 24th of September, the following week, we're going to have this excellent course, perhaps Al-Kawthar's most exciting course, Home Sweet Home, which will discuss making a happy home. How to choose a spouse, how to fight with your spouse, how to live with your spouse, how to be a good parent. Home Sweet Home is going to happen on the 24th of September. It's a Monday. I think it must be a public holiday at the Islamia Auditorium. And then, of course, you can join us on... So these things, you can check the details online, and there's posters at the back. We have our free course, Women Around the Messenger, if you'd like to receive. So we spoke about hijab, we're speaking about intimacy, we're speaking about the wives of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you'd like to learn more, you can join our WhatsApp line, you can speak to me, or you can get the details at the back, Women Around the Messenger. Another announcement that's not on here, at 2 o'clock this afternoon in Long Street, there's a monthly Dawah outreach program close to the Dope Street Masjid at Long and Dope, where they just speak to people about Islam on the road. So if any of you are on the street, or you'd like to just go and support and congratulate the brothers for doing it, or you'd like to be part of it, they've invited all of us to attend, it's a street dawah, to share our lovely deen. So please, we support them. May Allah grant them success in that initiative. Lastly, any comments or concerns, westmuhammad@gmail.com, you can join our WhatsApp line, 084-222-1308. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.